verse 7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Now, this is a proverb that is clearly true. We've all experienced it. After you've eaten, you're full. You don't want anything. Somebody could offer you one of your favorite pieces of food, and you'd say, no thanks. You're not interested. It's obvious. It's true, and we know it's true. And when you're hungry, my goodness. I remember in Mexico, we'd go to places, and when we'd go to some place, they'd invite us over to eat or whatever. We'd go to those places, and in Mexico, they would want to give us their best. They want to give us their best. And what they consider best is not sweet corn and potatoes, you know, and hamburger steak and gravy. What they consider their best is the snout off of a pork or, you know, the hairy ear in the pozole. And some things are just hard to swallow. And you know what I'm talking about. Bless our hearts. I mean, I got to the point where I realized if I was invited over to eat somewhere, I didn't eat all day. I just would not eat all day. By the time I got there, I was hungry, and I can eat nopales. I can eat prickly pear cactus. I can eat the snout off of a pork. Yes, I can. Why? Because I'm hungry. That's what the proverb says. The full soul loatheth on honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. It's weird. But that's true. It all has to do with your situation, your circumstance. If you're hungry, you're willing to eat, even if it's not all that great. You're willing to eat burnt cooking. You get home hungry, you're willing to eat it. And it's because of your circumstance. Now, the proverb is true, we know. But the value of a proverb is not telling us that truth. It's just like, you know, we hear a proverb say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now, that's true. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It's a true proverb, but it only has value, real value. Its real value is in applying it, not to the small thing, but applying it to something big. Say, like, you know, buy a smoke alarm. It's a lot easier to buy a smoke alarm than to bury a child or to watch your house burn down. It's worth it. That's how the proverb helps you. Now, this is a proverb that's going to help you. It'll help you if you apply it correctly. If you see the truth there and then look how it applies to something truly, truly important, like, say, your soul, like your eternity, like the spiritual things in life. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I want to talk about the full, the hungry, and the honeycomb. I want to talk about two problems and one solution. I want to talk about a full soul. A full soul, and I've seen it all the time. The full soul is not interested in the things of God. A full soul is not hungry. A full soul has no use for God. Amen. Has no need for the Bible. Why? Well, because they're full. Amen. They've got everything they want. They're satisfied. They're content. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you think, maybe you know, maybe this is your circumstance, actually. Maybe you had a good upbringing. Maybe you had a stable home. Maybe things have worked out for you. Maybe you were raised in a wealthy country, an advanced country, and everything seems to just come automatically. I mean, there are jobs to be had, and you can make a living, and you can feed your children, and things work out. You might even attribute some of that to your wise decisions, even though mostly it's because of things you had nothing to do with. But yes, you can still have a little bit of self-confidence in yourself because, well, every time you've tried to get a job, you've gotten one. Maybe your pay is not quite as much as you'd like, but, you know, you're paying the rent. And you're driving a car. And you've got air conditioning. Yeah. Maybe things are working out for you. Maybe you're in a country where, you know, the police actually are worth to be called. There's somebody you can call and they'll come and help you. Maybe you're living in a place where you've got freedoms and you've got liberties and you've got rights and you've got protections. Maybe there's lawyers that you could call if you got in trouble. Maybe there's, you know, and if, you know, your phone is down, it might take you a month or two, but sooner or later you get your phone back.
Right?
Things are working out. You're happy. You're satisfied. You walk down along the street and there's somebody out there preaching the gospel. Makes no sense to you. It's not interesting. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe life's treating you good. Maybe you're content with the way you are. Maybe things are okay. You're a full soul. You come to church and you say, yeah, I'm okay. Maybe you tithe. Maybe you give at work to, you know, the United Way or something. And maybe you feel like, you know, I'm doing okay. I feel pretty good about myself. Maybe you're satisfied with your wife. Maybe you're satisfied with your husband. Maybe life is okay. Maybe life is okay. Maybe things are going right. Maybe you got a decent car and it's working. You drove it here and it's still working and things are okay. Maybe you got a boat. Maybe your boat's working. Who knows? Maybe your roof's not leaking. Yeah. Maybe you've got a nice setup. Maybe you've got an education. Maybe you're doing all right because you got an education. You've got actually a decent job because you got an education. And you actually can, you know, you can hold an intellectual conversation with someone because your mind is working. Maybe your back's not hurting. Maybe your knees aren't creaking. Maybe you're not hacking up a lung all the time. Maybe you don't have cancer. Maybe life is good. Maybe you're doing fine. Maybe you see, you know, I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good. Maybe that's the way you feel. Maybe you don't have a sick child. Maybe you're not traveling to Houston, to MD Anderson, to take a child over there every single week to try to work something out. Maybe your parents aren't in a nursing home. Maybe they're doing okay. Everything seems right. It's all over this city. All in this room. A whole lot of people are feeling exactly like that. Amen. They're saying, I don't have a problem. Not any major problems. I mean, I've got little problems, but come on. I hear other people's problems. I'm doing okay. And you know what the problem is there? This is the two problems. Remember, you got this problem here. It's a full soul that has no need. No need. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Depends on if he's thirsty. And you're not thirsty. You don't need what God has to offer. You don't need the Bible. You don't need what the preacher's talking about. You just don't have any need. It's amazing. I find it amazing. You don't need help. You don't need a handout. You're doing good. But you have a full soul. And when you hear the gospel, it rings hollow. You hear God talking to you, and it seems insignificant. It actually is a little bit irritating. You hear somebody talking about the truths of the gospel and the power of the gospel to heal and to save and to redeem and to lift up out of the miry clay, and you say, it means nothing to me. None of that means anything to me. And all I'm going to tell you is, that's a problem. You got a problem. You're a full soul, and you have no need of God. I talk with people like this all the time. They don't realize that it's because they're full souls. They don't know how to attribute their attitude. They don't know what causes it. They don't know what is producing this attitude of self-sufficiency. It's not anything in them. You're not any better than the Guatemalan farmer out there that's barefoot and hoeing up 1 acre of land and is going to have to divide that acre between 4 sons. You're not like that. You're not like that Guatemalan bus driver that works 12 hours a day, 7 days a week with not one holiday during the entire year for $30 a month. You're not like that. But it's not because you're smart. And it's not because you've gone, you know, that you've made all good decisions in your life. The reason why you're not like that is because of grace. God distributes things unevenly.
Thank you, Lord.
Equality was not the objective in God's mind when he started off. He didn't say, I'm going to make everybody the same and everybody's going to have the same opportunities. And everybody. And you fell out on the good side of life.
Thank you, Lord.
You were born on the right side of the Rio Grande.
Thank you, Lord.
Things got working out for you. You had a stable family, perhaps. Perhaps you had a daddy that loved you. He wasn't in prison. He wasn't stepping out on you, on your mom. Maybe your mom wasn't a drunkard, wasn't a drug addict. Maybe you didn't grow up on the streets. Maybe you weren't stuck in some gang somewhere.
Thank you, Lord.
Maybe you didn't get into that kind of thing. Maybe you didn't start shooting up drugs when you were small because they were around your house, because you had an older brother that was selling them on the side. Maybe that's not what happened to you. It happens to people. There are people all over the way. But the reason why it hadn't happened to you is not because of how smart you are. And it's not about how good you've done and how what great decisions you've made. Something else. Somebody else provided the food you ate. You didn't provide it for yourself. Somebody else provided the economy that you live in, that you prosper in, that things seem to work out in. Every election cycle, I get sick to my stomach hearing about people talking about these crises that we're in. Oh, the jobless rate and the... They've never met a people more wealthy than us.
Thank you, Lord.
And all we do is complain about how we're not progressing. We're not getting richer. We're not getting better. People are having a hard time putting food in their pantry and paying their rent. Nonsense. You got it made. And you ought to know you got it made. And that's the reason why you don't hunger after God.
Amen.
That's the reason why you're not interested in the Bible. You read the Bible and it sounds, well, it's a little bit boring. And I'm not talking about Numbers or Leviticus. I'm talking about all the good stuff. I mean, read Genesis 39. And I mean, that's some really interesting stuff, but it doesn't catch your attention. It doesn't grip your soul. Why? Because you're full. I mean, the Cowboys are playing. I mean, the Spurs are getting ready. I mean, the news is on. And they're going to tell us whether it's going to rain tomorrow. You're full. You're full. You just got so much going on. Everything's good. Everything's okay. Have no need of God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need help. I don't need guidance. I don't need someone to help me with my child who's going astray. I don't need someone to fix my marriage. My wife loves me. My husband's okay. He's taking care of me. We're doing okay. My grandparents, my parents, we're all part of it. I mean, everything's good. Everything's good. And so you find yourself never once crying out to God for help. In all your life, you just go on and on. And you never come to the point where you say, God, I need a miracle. No, Lord, I need a miracle. It's not enough what I got. What I've got is not working. I don't have the wisdom that I need. You've never asked God for wisdom. He says he gives to all men liberally. Amen. All they have to do is ask, but you've never needed it. You're so self-sufficient. Everything's working out for you. You're a full soul. You're a full soul. You're happy. You're content. No, you're not completely content. You always could use a little bit more. You probably wouldn't mind winning the lottery. I mean, you would not know what to do with that kind of money, but you wouldn't mind it. So you're not completely content, but at the same time, you're not really dissatisfied with your life. You might even be thankful. You might even realize how good you've got it and you're okay. But the problem is you don't realize it. This is a serious problem in that you have a full soul and there's no room for God. Like that fella whose property just expanded and he had such a great harvest and he said, you know what? I don't have room to bestow all my goods. I don't know where to put them. I'm going to have to build bigger barns and I'm going to do this. And he's got good plans and he works and he builds the bigger barns, but then he dies. And Jesus said, he's not rich in God. He was a fool. Why? He had a full soul. I see him all the time. I talk to him all the time. I work with intellectuals, lawyers, and people who have good minds. I work with people who seem to have things going on. They drive Lexuses and BMWs. They drive good stuff. They live in nice houses, nice cars. They talk to me about going golfing here, and this place is the better place. They talk about traveling to Cancun and traveling to Hawaii, and they say, no, we're going to Europe this year, and we're doing that. And I think, what are you missing? What are you forgetting? What are you overlooking? Oh, man, don't you see the problem? You've got a full soul. You've got too much on your plate. You can't fit another thing in. You got no room for God, no room for the Bible, no need for guidance, no need for help, no need for a miracle. That's a problem. You don't realize what a problem it is because it just doesn't seem like a problem. I can see someone say, oh, God, give me that problem. I want everything to be okay. I want everything to be fine. And that's probably your prayers. God, don't take away my blessings.
Yeah.
Every day you pray, God, I like this and I like that. Don't take this away. Don't take that away. Because that's your life. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands, even millions of people probably in this town are living that experience. Things are going okay and I don't have any need for God. But it's not enough. It's not that you don't have need. It's that you don't want. It's true, you don't have any need. You know it. You don't really desperately need God in your life. That's why you can go all day without praying.
Yes, sir.
And you can. In fact, you can go all day without thinking about God one time.
Right.
You can actually go all day without thinking about God one time. Without praying to Him one time, without opening your Bible one time, you go all day long. Maybe you go all week long. You could possibly go all month long without once asking God for help.
Yes, sir.
Because you don't need Him. But you got another problem, and that's that you don't want Him.
Amen.
You don't want Him meddling in your life.
Right.
You don't want Him changing things. You don't want Him laying down rules. You don't want Him telling you where you're wrong. You don't want no judgmental Christians pointing the finger. You don't like that stuff.
Right.
You see, because it's not just that you don't need God. The Bible says the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. He can't stand the honeycomb. He doesn't like it. It doesn't satisfy him. It just bothers him. It's irritating. And who likes a Bible thumper telling you where you're wrong? Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be told that they're not supposed to be shacking up. Nobody wants to be told that their lifestyle is sinful or perverted or wrong. Nobody wants to be pointed out where they are being very foolish and acting very silly.
Amen.
And stupid.
Amen.
And even evil and
Amen.
Wicked. Nobody likes it. So the full soul says, I don't need God and I don't like Him. Now, I warn you, you don't mind Santa Claus. You like Santa Claus. He makes you feel good. But who wants a God that talks about hell and fire and anger and demands? Who wants a God that says, hey, that's evil, that's wicked? Who wants a God that comes in judgment? Who likes that? Nobody likes that. Everybody likes Jesus in a manger. Nobody likes Him breathing fire and a sword coming out of His mouth.
Amen.
Nobody likes Him when He walks through all those armies and His vesture is stained with blood. That's not the kind of God they want. People have their own imagination of God. That's called idolatry.
Amen.
You have your own imagination. You just invent your own God. And He's almost usually very similar to Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a God substitute. And I wish I could talk all of you Christians into letting that go.
Amen.
Get rid of Santa Claus.
Amen.
You should never pray to Santa Claus, and you should never teach your children to Santa Claus, and you shouldn't sing a song
Amen.
That tells you to pray to Santa
Amen.
Claus, even if it's cute, even if it makes you feel good, and even if it's for the children. And while we're at it, we're getting real close, you ought to drop Halloween also.
Amen.
It's just junk. It's just trash. But here's the point. You have this idea that of God in your own. You make God after your image. You want Him to be like you want. You want Him to be this grandfatherly guy that really lives to take care of you. And that's the God they're preaching in most of the pulpits in this country right now. He's a God that lives to take care of you. You got some petty little problem? Well, there's God. He can handle that. He can take care of your petty little problem. You don't need the God of the Bible. You don't need the Bible. You don't need guidance. But not only that, you don't want it and you hate it.
Amen. Amen.
You hate the Bible. You say, I don't hate the Bible. Yes, you do. That's the reason why you won't read it.
Right.
That's the reason why when I'm talking to somebody on the street and I say, well, the Bible says, they'll grab it out of my hands and shut it and say, I don't want that book. Why? They don't like the Bible. You know why? Because they have a full soul. They've never needed the Bible. And because of that, they don't like it. They don't like people telling them where they're wrong. They don't like God telling them what He demands. They don't like to be told about their responsibilities. They want people to tell them nice things, prophesy smooth things, tell us what we need to hear, but what we want to hear. Tell us good stuff. Let's be optimistic. I've had so many people tell me, your preaching is so negative. Why are you so hostile?
Amen.
Because I'm not preaching to satisfy you.
Amen.
I'm preaching to satisfy God.
Amen.
That is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to make you feel good. I'm just trying to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And I would not be doing my job if I told you all nice, positive things. Your problem is you got a full soul. Your soul is just overrunning with blessings and good. And you feel healthy and you feel good. And you don't have any worries and fears, or at least not enough to make you seek out for God and say, help me, God. Help me, God. I need a miracle, God. It never happens. So you run from Him. You dodge Him. You turn from Him. And when the preacher preaches on something that plows up your potato patch and you don't like it, you just stop coming. Because you can.
Yes, sir. You're right.
You don't need God. You can stop coming anytime you want, right? You don't need prayer. You can just stop coming anytime you want. Get a little upset at what they say at church? Just quit coming. Why? You don't need Him. Your soul is full. What do you need the church for? What do you need the Bible for? What do you need a hard-nosed preacher for telling you what you're doing wrong? Why do you need that? You can live without it. Get up and walk out. Go away. Go find your full soul some enjoyment somewhere else, because you don't want the honeycomb. Well, we got another circumstance, another situation. We talk about the full. Well, we can talk about the hungry, because some people are hungry. Full souls are satisfied without meaning in their life. They're satisfied with no significance. I talk to people all the time, atheistical types. I don't know if they're really atheists or not, but they're atheistical types because they live their life without God and without any need for God. And so when you point out that their lives are just meaningless and superficial and actually vexation of spirit, it's all vanity and it's all nonsense and it's all a waste of time and there's no accomplishment and there's no purpose and they can't even figure anything out, and they're okay with that. But there's a lot of people who aren't okay with that. I was a young man who was not okay with an insignificant life. A useless, worthless, meaningless, irrelevant trash pile of a life. I didn't want that. I was hungry. You know, there's people that are hungry. They want purpose in their life. What's the point? Most children get to a point where they say, I want to know who I'm here, who I am, what I'm doing here, and what I'm supposed to be, and I want to know what the meaning of life is. What does an atheist tell his child? Dad, what's the meaning of life? There is no meaning. Try to avoid getting eaten. The purpose of life is don't get eaten by a lion. Don't get run over by a car. That's your entire purpose in life. Spread your seed around. Propagate. They got no better understanding of what life is about. But if you have any concept of hunger, you say, I want to know what it's about. They're not going to tell me this is an accident. Come on. You're not going to tell me this is insignificant. You're not going to tell me that a person, a man, the most complicated creation, your brain, something that's more complicated than the entire universe all around. It's more complicated, your brain. And they know that you are much more than your brain, because your mind goes way beyond your brain. Something's there. Don't tell me it's meaningless. Don't tell me it's insignificant. And the fact that you can make judgments, and your judgments are rational and reasonable and right, and every day you make them. That's why we have a jury system. Don't get me started on a jury system. But we have a jury system because people are rational and they can make judgments. It bothered me that I was pulled in to make a judgment about a divorce, whether to grant a divorce and who to grant the stuff to and whatever. And I'm thinking, fix your own problems. Don't make me make judgments about that. But nope, we in Texas, we have one. It's one of the only two states in the nation that has juries deciding divorce. So they decided on a jury because the judge was not going to give one of the groups what they wanted. So they had a jury and they made us do that. And we made the decision, and we came to a conclusion. Why? Because we're rational, and we're reasonable, and we know right from wrong. And we can say, that was not right. Don't tell me that's meaningless. Don't tell me that's insignificant. Oh no, that's not. You're not a rock. You're not even a star, or a comet, or a galaxy. You're the most complex creation that can be imagined.
Amen, Lord.
You're a spirit that God has created. He's called the Father of Spirits. He made you an independent thinker, someone independent of Him that can make your own decisions. Some people call it a free will. That's fine. You've got a choice to make, and you've got choices to make, and your choices mean something. They are significant, and they not only matter to you, they matter to your children. They matter to your wife. They matter to your parents. They matter to God. They matter to the devil. Your decisions matter. Your thoughts matter. Your judgments matter. So you're hungry. What's the meaning? What's the purpose? But the problem is when you're hungry, you cast about. They say a drowning man will grab a hold of a straw. And that's what we got. We got drowning men all over the ocean and all kinds of people throwing them anchors. Have an anchor. We got it all over the world. We've got hungry people and we've got charlatans willing to give them something. It's bitter. It's horrible. It's not nourishing. It's junk. It's lies. It's hypocrisy. It's mixture. It's idolatry. It's trash. It's garbage. It's a way for them to get rich and soak up everything you've got. They're lying to you. They're deceiving. They're fools. They're evil. They're wicked. And they're lying all the time, everywhere, all day long. It's on the radio. It's on the news. It's everywhere. You can stand out on the street corner and listen to it. It's trash. It's godless lies. It's not the Bible. It's not the honeycomb. It's bitter. But to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You'll get somebody that will just fawn over the Pope. Now, I don't know this Pope. I don't know whether he's better than some other one or not. But I have dealt with a lot of priests. And I can tell you, these people are not superhuman. They're barely human, I can tell you that. They have hurt themselves tremendously. I can tell you story after story, and I can tell you the hypocrisy and the lies. What in the world would you be defending stuff like that for?
Amen.
Let me tell you what about the Pope. The Pope does not teach you what the Bible says.
Right.
The Pope is not trying to save your soul. He's got other reasons for what he does. He's got big administrative duties. He needs help. Yeah, no what? No doubt about it. He needs help. He asks people to pray for him. He says, pray for me, pray for me. Yeah, he needs help. But he's not telling people the truth.
Amen.
You think that's unkind of me to be mentioning him? I tell you, it's the same thing on all the others. Talk about the Dalai Lama.
Amen.
Yeah, you want to talk about the Ayatollah Khomeini? They're liars. They're full of trash. They're full of garbage. How about the guy on the radio saying, just send me $100? Look at the glory of God. He healed an ingrown toenail. You can have your ingrown toenail healed if you just send me $100. They're liars. They're godless, charlatan, hypocrites, and liars. But people are fawning over them all the time. They are believing all that junk. These are not real miracles, people. They are fake. They are false. They are pseudo. They are misdirection. They are all staged lies.
Amen.
Every one of them. There's nobody raising the dead out there. There's nobody healing the blind out there. Not one of them. But hungry souls, they go for it. We've got 2 million people. I think it's 2 million. I might be getting my statistics wrong, so don't hold me to it. But I believe it's 2 million pilgrims walk to San Juan de los Lagos in Mexico every year. They walk. Some of them, they take a bus or a car to a certain point and walk the last 100 miles or 50 miles. Some of them walk from their hometown, hundreds of miles away. They walk. Takes them weeks. They walk. They carry a backpack. They sleep. They walk in the night and they sleep during the day. And they get there ragged and bloody, and they leave the money they brought at the foot of that little image. Little statue about that tall. You know what they're praying for? Help. My girlfriend left me. My mama's dying. My child is sick. You see them, they purchase what they call retablos. Little tablets. And these things are painted on with their petition so they can leave it there. There's stacks of them. Stacks of them, hundreds, thousands of them. They light a candle and they put it there. And they put the money in the box, hoping for a miracle. And you know why they do that? Because somebody lied to them. Somebody told them that little image does miracles. We try to point things out to them. Listen, this little image doesn't do miracles. If it falls over, it can't even pick itself up. And you're crying in front of it, but he can't see your tears. It doesn't know whether you're crying or not. It can't hear you. It doesn't know. It can't answer you. It can't. You walk 100 miles to see it. It can't take one step. If it was sitting down, it couldn't stand up. They have to repaint it every so often. They got to keep it pretty. They got to wash it. It's a lie. I've talked to the priests. Why do you tell them that? Well, you know, we're not exactly telling them that. Why don't you tell them it's not true? They've told me, the priest right there in San Juan de los Lagos has told me he knows it's not true. He knows it's not true. But he won't tell them. You know why? Because hungry people keep on coming and dropping their money in the box. And that's the same reason why preachers out there right now are preaching soft and smooth things to keep good tithers coming to the meeting and dropping their money in the box. And they're not going to tell them that they're wrong.
Amen.
They're not going to tell them what they're doing wrong. They're not going to tell them to stop their Halloween.
Amen.
They won't tell them that. You know why? It offends them. And they stop coming. And they stop dropping their money in the box. They're hungry. But they're filling themselves with bitter things. You know, some of them are hungry and they get desperate. They get depressed. They get broken. They get beat down by life. They don't know what to do. They didn't have a great childhood. They didn't have a stable home life. And so all they know how to do is turn to sin. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to sex. They turn to every kind of party. They turn to sports. They turn to everything to distract them. They turn to stealing. They find themselves in prison. They're hungry and they're going to bitter things and they're willing to try it. They're willing to try anything. It's amazing. You get some of these kids and you find out what they did and how they got started. That somebody gave them a handful of pills and they took them. Why would you do that? Why would somebody hand you a pill and you just put it in your mouth? Why would you do that? Because they're hungry. They want something besides the humdrum, drab life they live at home with dad screaming and mom hollering and everything going wrong and people cheating and people stealing and people lying and all the filthy language and the drunkenness and all the junk in their life. They're hungry. They want something. And so what do? They turn to whatever is offered. You see, if you're hungry, you're willing to eat whatever they offer you.
Sir.
Who ever heard of a hungry person turning down nopales? I once went out and fasted for 3 days. fasted for 3 days out in the wilderness, staying in a tent. And on that third day, I'm hanging in my hammock underneath a prickly pear cactus tree. And I'm looking up at those prickly pears and saying, they look pretty good. I was hungry for prickly pear cactus. And that's the truth. People are hungry. And if people are hungry and they know that their life is lacking, they know they've got a need, they know they're empty, they know they're depressed, they know they've got chemical imbalance in their brain. It makes them go crazy sometimes. It makes them get angry. It makes them do things. They're ashamed. They're broken. They know they're perverted. They have perverted thoughts.
Yes.
They come up with all kinds of trash. They can't forget the stuff they've done.
Right.
They can't get over their shame. They can't get over anything. They're hungry. They want somebody to solve the problem. There's an uneasiness in their stomach. They're pitted. They turn. They're queasy. They don't know what to do. And somebody offers them a little bit of marijuana. Oh, spaces them out. Calms them down. They call it now self-medicating. Self-medicating. Marijuana is not your solution.
Right.
Marijuana will destroy you. It will destroy you.
Amen.
It'll give you no desire. Even after you're over the high, you'll have no desire for anything good in life. You'll lose everything if you just get on marijuana. Just do it. You get on harder drugs, you just destroy yourself right in front of your eyes. You start melting away. You just start shriveling up. You've seen it. You know what I'm talking about. Get into sex. They get into all kinds of perverted sex. They get into sadomasochism, where they take pleasure in hurting people or being hurt. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of perverted crap is that? That's junk. That's a lie. It's a lie. They get into homosexual relationships and they want to pretend and justify it and say, this is not wrong. But all fornication is wrong.
Amen.
All of it is wrong.
Amen.
It's not just homosexuality that's wrong. All fornication
Amen.
Is wrong. That includes your adultery.
Amen.
That includes your pornography.
Amen.
That includes your shacking up. That includes what you do in the back seat with your girlfriend. It includes all that trash. It even includes your sorry attitude about sex. It even includes the kind of attitude you have about what you watch on television.
Amen.
It's a trashy, trashy lie that people are willing to take because life seems so empty. They're hungry. There's nothing there. They don't know what else to do. They cast about and they find drugs. They find sex. They find alcohol. They find anger. They find bitterness. They blame the government. They blame white people. They blame the man.
Right.
They blame establishment.
Right.
They blame Americans. They blame the NRA.
Yep.
We're angry. We're angry! You can't treat us like this! They find some kind of comfort in anger. Anger won't solve your problem. Hatred never solves a problem. Hungry soul, they get satisfied with bitter things. Not satisfied, they just fill themselves with bitter things. Now I want to talk to you about the honeycomb. You see, because the honeycomb is the grace of God. It's the word of God. It's the promises that God gives. It's an offer that God offers. He talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Your shame can be washed away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Your guilt just whitened.
Amen.
White as snow. It's called forgiveness. He talks about redemption, where you owe nothing. There's no payment. There's no penalty. There's no hell. There's not even any judgment for sin. There's nothing coming down the pike waiting for you. There's no anger of God hanging over your head. It's called redemption. It's because somebody paid the price. It talks about love. It talks about the love of God that was willing to seek us out when we were lost and we were gone and when we were sinful and when we were shameful and when we were perverted and when we had lost everything. And yeah, when we were depressed, He came looking for us. And when we weren't listening and when we weren't heart hunting and when we were not desiring and when we were hating Him, He was calling us. He was calling us by name. He was saying, come to me. Come to me and I'll give you rest.
Yes, amen.
You'll find rest into your souls if you just come to me. You weren't calling for Him. He was calling for you.
Yes, amen.
It's called love. It's called love. There's healing. The Bible talks about healing. He'll take a man that's a pervert and turn him around.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll take a man that's a thief and make him a giver. He'll take a man that's a murderer and he'll make him hunger after helping other people. I'm telling you, he will take a man that has destroyed his life on drugs and he'll give him a clean, clear thinking process through the filtering word of God that takes away all that dross and all that junk and just eliminates it and moves it out. And all of a sudden things come clear because with the word of God, we're smarter than our teachers.
Yes.
With the word of God, we're smarter than all our enemies. With the word of God, he just clears things up. He makes a proverb that'll tell you what it means. He'll give you a parable that just clears things up for you. All of a sudden, you can think straight. And you were ruined. Your mind was gone. You had destroyed it. But God says, I'm going to filter it out. I'm going to get rid of all the trash. I'm going to give you healing. Healing. Do you hear it? Some people need healing. Some people have an issue of blood. Some people have blindness. Some people have brokenness. Some people have all kinds of problems. Some are bent over and they can't raise up. And they call on Jesus. And Jesus says, you're healed. Not once did someone walk away unhealed. You think he can't heal your problem? You got problems? Yeah, he can heal it. That's the honeycomb.
Amen.
It's the honeycomb and it's offered to the full and to the hungry. Here it is. You got all this bitter stuff? Let it go.
Yeah.
Go after what God offers you. Go after the good stuff. Go after the clean stuff. Don't take the trash stuff. You don't have to pick something up out of a dumpster or off the street and eat trash. You don't have to do that. You can take the truer word of God and the truth of God. You see, but if you're full, you're not interested in truth. Truth seems irrelevant. And if you're hungry but fill yourself with bitterness, you think truth is not necessary. All you want to do is feel better. And some things will let you feel better for a little bit. But you're not interested in truth. I'm amazed that some Christians aren't interested in truth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Buy the truth and sell it not.
Amen.
But the honeycomb, it's truth.
Amen.
God will come and he'll tell you the truth. God will tell you the truth. If you hunger for it. Do you want the truth?
Amen.
You want God to tell you what's true? What's pure? What's honest? What's of good report?
Amen.
You want what's good? God will tell you what it is.
Amen.
It's the honeycomb. He'll give you victory. He'll give you victory. He'll give you freedom. He'll give you holiness. It's the honeycomb. This is what God's offering you. You say, I don't know about holiness. It's the beauty of holiness.
Right.
It's where you love God from your heart and you don't know why.
Yes.
You don't even know. It's not self-discipline. It's not because you're really strong and you force yourself to do. No, it comes bubbling up like a spring, like an artesian well. It's called the Holy Spirit that comes in and grants you holiness and you love God and you
yes,
outpour
amen.
Your heart to God in praise and thanksgiving and you find yourself singing the songs and people start calling you hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Because you can't help yourself. Bunch of hallelujahs. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you achievement. He'll make you achieve something that'll last forever. He'll make you useful. No, not useful in some silly little superficial sense here in this economy. He'll make you useful in an eternal sense, in a way that will bless him forever and bless all your children forever and bless everybody else forever, in a way that people will look at you and say, that brother is useful. He's helped me. Oh yeah, you think there's something better than that? It's the honeycomb. If you think that that's not something worthwhile, it's because you're full or you filled yourself with bitter herbs. A bunch of junk. He'll give you eternal life. Eternal life. Life that has no end. An endless life of service to God. Of usefulness to God. Of blessing to God. Of enjoyment in his presence. In thy presence is fullness of joy, is what he says. He'll give you a home in heaven. He says, I go to prepare a place for you and I'm going to make a mansion for you. And I mean, it's going to be beautiful and you're going to like it and we're going to have some good time. He'll give you fellowship.
Amen.
Fellowship. That's where he can put his arm around you and say, hey, let's talk. Or you can talk to him. It's fellowship. You see, this is the honeycomb. It's what God offers you. It's what God's offering everybody. You just got to have the desire. You just got to have a little hunger. And if you're that full soul that just doesn't seem, you can by faith say, I know it's true.
Yes.
You don't have to feel it.
Yep.
You can by faith, because you're a mind that God has given you a mind, and your mind is over your feelings. You can say, I know it's true. The Bible says it, and I want it. And if you're hungry, you throw away all that bitterness. You throw away the hatred. You throw away the junk. You throw away the idolatry. Get rid of it all. Get rid of all your religious feelings. Get rid of all the sinful thing. Just admit that it's all junk, that it's no good. And come to the honeycomb. Come to the gift that God wants to give you. Ask Him for salvation. Ask Him for the promise of eternal life. That's what He said. I'll give it to you. Any man comes to me. You know what He says? He uses a great word. It's a great word. Memorize the word. It's called whosoever.
Amen.
Whosoever. Anybody in the world.
Amen.
Anybody. That's you. Your mind is wasted. It's you. Whosoever. I'll give you eternal life. I'll give you a home in heaven. I'll give you a place by my side. I'm going to sit down and eat with you. In fact, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to come up to you. Jesus, I'm going to serve you. That's the honeycomb. That's what you want. And that's all I can do. If you're full, I can't help you. I can't make you hungry. And if you're hungry and you believe that trash, I can't help you. I'm telling you, it's bitter. It's junk. It seems sweet to you because you're hungry.
Right.
Because you're desperate. But it's not sweet. It's not good. It's not nourishing. It's lies. It's hypocrisy. It's junk. Let me tell you what the honeycomb is. It's this book that gives you all kinds of promises. And it tells you you can have it. You can have eternal life if you want it.
Amen.
If you just believe it, it's the honeycomb. Let's pray.